Good morning. In what name are we gathered? In the name of Jesus. We are gathered here together to praise God. We're gathered here together to be edified. And you know, I just think of this morning, as it just comes to me right now, and thinking that as believers and being members of the body of Jesus Christ, to have a body all fit together and everybody's there, it's perfect. But when there's a piece missing, it just doesn't feel quite right. And I believe this morning some of you may have come, maybe your spouse didn't, or maybe your parents aren't here or your children aren't here, so there's a piece missing. But we still want to fellowship together and we want to serve God. And this morning, for the ones that have come, I want to say welcome. If there's guests this morning, I also want to say welcome to you. And my wish and prayer is that today we will be edified and built up through God's Word. This morning, just as a opening verse, my wish is the grace and the peace that we can have from God and from His Son, Jesus Christ, would be with us here. And the communion of Holy Spirit be here to give us what we need. But Jude verse 20 says this, and I want to say this to you as a congregation. He says, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. This morning, I want to say to you, beloved, we've gathered here to build ourselves up in our faith. And we gather together to pray in the Holy Ghost. And having said that, let's bow our hands for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, we are all a creation of yours. And sometimes my mind just stands still when I think of we're created in the image of you. We don't quite grasp that. We don't know that your Son was also created in the image of you. Your Son came as a man, born as a child, lived as a man on earth, and taught miraculous ways. Lord, the Word is left behind. The Word is left for us to read and to build ourselves in faith. And so we come to you in praying in the Holy Spirit. And we pray, O God, that this morning would be a morning of edification, a building of each and every one of us, a time for us to build our spiritual soul, the soul that is within us, to make it stronger and to make it more solid upon a foundation, that when the winds come, that we will be able to stand. I pray this morning for Sunday school teachers as they teach those children. Teach those young lambs. Oh God, give them wisdom. Grant them words to speak to the level of those children that they would understand. And they this morning also would be blessed by your Spirit. Pray for the singles. There's many out there that possibly would have loved to maybe have gotten married, or those that didn't want to. Lord, we know that they can still have you, though, as their partner, and many of them do. We pray for the widows, the widowers. Lord, as they go on in life, that they would continue to feel your nearness and your closeness as you walk with them. Be with us that are married, Lord, as we know that the devil works on it, and he wants to destroy the building that is built upon a foundation. Destroy marriages. God, we pray earnestly, help us to stand together, and when all is done, that we can stand and to be a light for the world. Grant us all a blessed morning, not just here, but all the churches that are out there. Be with every pastor that's speaking this morning. And Lord, grant me words that will be edifying to your sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to now ask the song leaders, please, to lead us in a few songs. Thank you for that singing. So beautiful. And thank you for playing. Thank you for leading. That's a blessing, and just to do that and to sing praises to the Lord. Sometimes I thought, man, it would be nice just on a Sunday morning, just sing. That's it. I love singing. I want to start. My text I've chosen is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11. And I know verse 11 is very familiar maybe for many of us, but I feel that number 10, verse 10, I want to put that in there also. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 and 11. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Here Paul, as I said, we're very familiar with the verse of verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We know that there's a foundation, and there's a foundation that Jesus Christ laid. There's also a time of 3 years where he spent solid time preaching, teaching the right and the wrong, admonishing. And God put him here for a purpose, so that people would know what was the true way and the true life to live. Now, if we look back to verse 10, we see that Paul is writing this to the Corinthians, and Paul is telling them it is the grace of God that has given to him to build the Corinthians, and others too, because he taught others as well. But he's especially talking to the Corinthians here, and he says to build them, but he did it as a wise master builder. He didn't do it foolishly. He was, through the gift of God and the grace that God gave him, and the Spirit's guidance, he taught many people. But he asked them to be very mindful of one thing, and that is, be careful how you build upon what I've taught you. Because there is no other foundation except the one which is the most important, that is Jesus Christ. So then my question is to you as a congregation, when a pastor has brought a message to you on a Sunday morning or even during the week, do you go home and you say, yeah, he's right. He's taught me everything. Today morning, I do not need to open my Bible. Totally trust him. Now, if I spoke to you today morning that Mary was the one that we needed to worship, we needed to praise her, she's the one that we would need to pray through to get to God, I think we would all say, no, it's not what we've been taught. So if I teach you something today morning, will you believe me? Or will you take that home and look for yourself? I want to do the same thing that Paul did. I want to build you as a wise master builder. This morning, I do not want to teach you wrong. I want to teach you the right way. But I want you to make sure that you yourself are going to check and to search what is the correct way. This morning, I've touched on those two verses, and I want to go over to Luke chapter 6. I'll touch on Luke chapter 6, four verses, and then go to a little bit into Matthew yet. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Luke 6, verse 46. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and people here, and he says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep. He laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently. And immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." This morning I would ask you, and I would ask you to raise your hands, how many of you have heard this message or have read this before? I believe many of you have. I believe many of us have heard this passage. But as I was studying and preparing on a message of the foundation, this passage came to my mind. And so I read it, and I'm going, there's something here that I've never caught before. And I love nothing more than open God's word and actually find something new in there. And it happens almost all the time. But something struck me here. And what struck me here is the fact that in verse 48, he's talking about a man that hears the words and also does them. He says he's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on the rock. But what does he call him? He doesn't give him any kind of name. He doesn't give him a title. But if we go over to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, the last chapter of it, chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, we'll see that the writer of Matthew actually wrote the words of a title of these two different types of men. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he says there, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You notice any difference between the two writers? There's a difference. The one specified a foolish man and a wise man. The one declares the difference and points them to a title of a person. Now this morning we would have to ask ourselves, which one am I? Do I just hear his word? Am I also one that walks out and you know, when there's a conversation going, well, I want to be in that conversation, so I kind of feel part of that group, and I'm going to make sure I use Jesus' name somewhere in the conversation. "He called me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say," Luke 6, verse 46. "You hear the sayings, but you do them not, is like a foolish man." I want to take a little bit of time and look at verse 48. 48 in Luke chapter 6 really struck me as I was studying this. He says he is like a man, this man who is hears the sayings and does them, as verse 47 says. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now, my question is to you, if any of you have built a new house, what's the first thing you did back in the day? I mean, I know back in the time when my parents were young, and You know, first married, I still remember a certain age, my mom and dad building a brand new house. But back in the day, dad would just go to the municipality and ask for a permit, and he would go build a house. No drawings, nothing. Just build a house according to what they thought was best. Today, you and I know that in order for us to build a house, we need to go to a person who does the drawings. They are well knowledgeable in drawing this up. And when it's done, it goes to an engineer to get a stamp. And when those drawings are done, we can pick them up and start building the house. Well, you and I know that in order for us to build a house, a good house and a solid house, something that will not sink, to me at least, it's very familiar. You don't just build it on the topsoil. You don't just say, okay, that's where we want to build it. Don't move any dirt. That's where we're going to build it. No. You dig down and you find yourself a more solid part of the clay. But Jesus uses the words to dig deep and put on a rock. And you know what? And if we really think of it, if we want to build the most solid house so it doesn't move, is we would dig deep. And we would make sure we find a rock that is big, that is down on the ground, and that doesn't move to build it upon. Well, you've got the drawings. Now, you need to build the house. But what do you do with those drawings? So you've gone to the person that has done these drawings, has built these, or drawn this up, and there's a stamp on that. You pick them up, you pay them for it, and you go home and you throw it in one corner of your office or your bedroom, whatever it is, and you start building the house. Do you think you make a good job of it? There's maybe some of us that are quite familiar with building. We maybe wouldn't need that much of that drawing information, but I would. I would need that. I know if I would say to you that if you left the drawing there and just built it the way you thought would be best, there's a very, very good possibility that house will not last. So what do you do with it when you get the drawing? Do you actually throw it in a corner and not look at it? Or do you open it up and study it and read it? Do you make sure that you follow every part according to the drawing? Once you've studied it, you start your project. You start to lay everything out that you need to lay out. And not just that alone, you go get the product that you need. Some of you may be very familiar when I use the word stirrups. You know what? No, it has nothing to do with cowboys. This is part of the rebar that goes in to the cement structure. Some of us still would maybe think, well, what is that? There's things in my life that I do not understand of carpentry. My son would outdo me by a long ways. He's taught me a lot. He's done years of construction. He knows what he needs to do next. A lot of times he even knows what to do without even opening the blueprint, because he knows what needs to go together in a lot of situations. But where did that come from? Somebody left a drawing, and someone picked it up and studied it and started to build a house. Now, the question is, do you and I own a Bible? Do you and I take that Bible and read it? First of all, we need to go get one. Purchase one. Just as well as we need to purchase this drawing, we purchase a Bible. We can purchase the Bible and we can take it home and just put it on a dresser. That when we have guests, we can show them, we have a Bible in our house. Or we can take the Bible, we can purchase it, open it, and study it. What does it teach us? It teaches us various things. This morning I want to look a little bit to Matthew. Jesus being baptized in Matthew chapter 4. Well, he was baptized. Matthew chapter 3 speaks about his baptism. But after his baptism in Matthew chapter 4, we see that there was 40 days that he fasted, he was hungry, and the devil came to test him. The devil came to try him. And as the devil comes and he tries him in three different times, Jesus uses the words out of Scripture as a sword. The first one, as we find in verse 4, Jesus says to the devil, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You can find Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Scripture. Jesus laid the foundation. Jesus built upon the truth. Jesus was teaching and telling the devil, this is what is written. Verse 7, he says, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Again, he used Scripture. The third time in verse 10, "Get hence, thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou serve." Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. He used the Word of God. Jesus knew the Word, and Jesus knew that that's where the power and the strength was in. And do you see, the storm came to him, and it came strong. This devil came at a time where we could say Jesus was possibly at his weakest. We know that when we haven't eaten or been drinking, and 40 days is a long time, I've never tried that long. We know possibly that we would be fairly weak at that point. And that's when the devil knows when to come, when we are in our most tired part of our day or week. We are in a part or a time of the day or week where we are just, we could say, burnt out, overworked, maybe not eating properly. And that's when the devil often comes. But Jesus knew the Word, and he used the Word to fight against the storm of the devil. When I go back and think of this blueprint I'm talking about, as I said before, we need to study it. We need to also read it. Two verses that I want to share with us this morning. The first one is in John chapter 5, verse 39. In John 5, verse 39, Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Are you interested in Jesus? Do you have any hunger or thirst in the spiritual side? If you do, don't just come Sunday morning to church. Open your Bibles. Jesus is not saying in this verse 39, he's saying here, "Cal, search the Scripture." No, he's talking to all of us. He's telling each one of us, search the Scripture. If you want eternal life, search the Scripture. Why? Why should I search the Scripture? A time comes, the devil will tempt you. A time comes when the storm will be there. And will you and I know how to fight against it? Will you and I have the Ephesians 6, the armor of God, and especially the last tool that he talks about, the last item, the sword, the Word of God? Do we have that with us? Do we understand it? Do we study it? Do we memorize it? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, as he says, study to shew themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. There's been times in my life where somebody approached me with a question I didn't know how to answer. I was stuck. I walked away ashamed because I couldn't give an answer. Paul encourages Timothy and he says, study to shew thyselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Are you a workman for God, for Jesus Christ? If somebody approached you in a restaurant or on the street and asked you a question about Jesus, would you be ready to answer? I recall a situation in roughly 2 years ago. It'll be more like 4 or 5 years ago, probably even. Whatever. Time goes by so quick. I was in Quebec. Two of my employees were with me. We were doing a job there, and I don't know if it was a Saturday night or a Sunday night. I can't remember. Anywhere we went to a restaurant and to eat, because that was the only place we had. We were staying in a motel, and we sat down, and we were having our meal, the three of us, and across the aisle, and the other side, there was a booth also, and there was some lady sitting there and eating. I don't remember their age or anything like that, but somewhere along the line, they left, and two older ladies, and I guess I can call myself in that category, they were about my age, I'm guessing, they were sitting there, and I just, as I do in restaurants often, I'll just glance around. I'm just looking at who there is and continue our conversation between the three of us, and I suppose I did that a few times, and this one time, as I glanced over, I just made that second of a eye contact with one of the women, and then she made contact with me, and her question came out of her mouth. She says, do you believe in God? I'm going, whoa, I was not ready for that. She caught me totally off guard. Why did she catch me off guard? One thing was, in the area where we were staying, it was south east of Montreal, very Catholic, very, very strong Catholic. And also a lot of people did not go to church. So it felt very, the whole environment or the whole surrounding, no matter where you were, felt kind of blah. There was just, didn't feel like the strong spirit of God at all. So she caught me off guard, and plus, I was just taken back. Do you believe in God? And I stopped, and I said, yes. And that's where I left it. We continued our conversation around our table, went back to the motel, and I was bothered. I was so deeply bothered, it took me not just a day, it took me probably a few weeks to get over it. For the fact that I missed an opportunity to ask her a question. Do you? Possibly she did. Possibly she saw something within the three of us that she thought that we believed in God, and she needed to ask that question. Maybe she was hoping for me to ask something back. But I think sometimes when I look at that and think about it, I think possibly I wasn't strong enough on my foundation. That if she would have tempted me with some questions, I wouldn't have been as fluent or as easy to answer her back with Word of God, with Scripture verses. So my question is, have I studied God's Word enough so when I walk away from somewhere that I don't have to be ashamed? That I actually was able to help somebody that was hungry? Possibly this soul was. I don't know, because I didn't continue this conversation. Possibly this soul was hungry for some spiritual food. Do you open God's Word at home? Or does your Bible lay there and only get brought Sunday morning to church, or not even that? I'm not sure if this is a true saying or true story, but I believe it was. A pastor had come to a couple's house. A pastor couple had been invited to this couple's place after church. And so they had gone down there to visit. They had lunch together. And when that pastor couple left, the lady, the missus of that home, says to her husband, "I something's really bothering me. One of my teaspoons are missing, which I had at the pastor's place where he was sitting. It's not here, and I have a feeling that he took it home with him. And I don't get it why he would do that." And so a week went on, and 2 weeks went on, and it was bothering her that this teaspoon, she couldn't find it, and she felt like, no, the pastor actually brings this message, and he is stealing from us? Like, I don't get it. And so it went on, and it bothered her and bothered her. She continued to go to church and so on. Finally, a year later, it was an opportunity to invite them over for lunch again. And as they were sitting down for lunch, she just couldn't help herself anymore, but she needed to ask. And she says, "You know, Pastor, the last time you were here, since that time, I'm missing a teaspoon. Did you by chance take it?" And he says, "No, ma'am, I put it in your Bible." I would give a good answer whether somebody had opened the Bible and found the teaspoon, wouldn't it? So a whole year, that Bible had stayed closed. If I did that to you, would you be able to find your teaspoon if it was missing? Would you find it within a day, or a week, or a month? Or not till I come over next time again? And John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You are going to build upon a foundation. If you're going to be in Jesus' word, in God's word, and read the scripture, he says, you are my disciple. He will not look at us and say, "Oh, you're calling me Lord, Lord, but you don't even love me because you don't look for me. You don't search for me. That's only your mouth." Are you and I strong? Can we stand? Will we stand when we get tempted as Jesus did, or will we fall? I have a few more things that I'd like to cover. But before we go over to that, I want to give us all an opportunity for those that are able to go on their knees and pray the Lord for help. If we are failing in any area that doesn't bring us, that it takes us away from God, further away from God, bring that to the Lord. You have that choice. He's listening. He cares. Now my question to you is, do you care? Do you care about that soul that's in you? Or are you only caring for your flesh? So for those that are able together with me, let's kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Thank you. Trusting the Lord will have heard our prayers. I want to continue, but I want to go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll reread verse 10 and 11 and finish off at the end of 15. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, he says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, where he hath built thereupon, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Strong words. Are you ready for the fire? Are you ready to be put through there? What have you built upon? Is there value in your life that when it will be tested by fire, it will stand as gold, stand as silver, and as precious stone? Will it be burnt and gone? Gone to ashes because it was hay, wood, and stubble. What do you and I leave behind for our children and our grandchildren? What do we leave behind for others to see in our life? Could they find security when they are in trouble? Would they be willing to come to our place because they know that the house that we're in is secure? When they are troubled, possibly there's a marriage that's on the verge of breaking up and somebody needs help. Possibly a child or a parent that is struggling. Could they go to your house? Could they feel that when they come into your house, they would be edified? They would feel secure. I want to share this morning three different songs. A verse from one animal and this animal's brother and those two animals' brother. And the verses go like this. The first one, he sang and he said, I built my house of straw, I built my house of hay. I toot my flute and I don't give a hoot, and I play around all day. Who was this? One of the three little pigs. He didn't care. He quickly built his house of hay, of straw. He didn't care about anything. As he sang, I toot my flute and I don't give a hoot. Do we live our day that way, the same? That we toot our flute and don't give a hoot? Like we just don't care? We have absolutely no desire for God's word. And if we do, we come Sunday morning to church. And we expect that to be our brick house. The second little pig, as he built his house, he says, I build my house of sticks, I build my house of twigs. With a hey diddle diddle, I play on the fiddle and I dance all kind of jigs. He was just having a party. He took a little bit more time for his house. Possibly he was one that, I mean, that's not part of the story, but just comparing this, possibly one of us that we go to church possibly involved in church, a Sunday school teacher. But that's all we open our Bible for. Just enough to teach those young souls. And other than that, the Bible stays closed. Along comes the third little pig. And he sings a song as he's working, and he says, I build my house of stones. I build my house of bricks. I have no chance to sing and dance, for work and play don't mix. He knew his time for the world wasn't there. He had work to do. Why did these three pigs, why were they so different? They're all brothers. All three of them. Why is there in our family today a family of three or more, or even less at times? Why is there a difference? Why does one not give a hoot? The other one, he wants to just play around, go to all the parties possible. But then there's one that has a very deep interest in God's word and says, you know what, I don't have time to play now. I have a hunger for God's word. What is the difference between the three? Quite a difference. But all three of them knew one thing, that there was a wolf around. All three of them. And every last one of us in this congregation knows there's a devil around. We are no fool when it comes to that. And I think every last one of us knows that the devil comes at a time often that we do not expect him. But he knows when to come. These guys were having a good time. And along comes the wolf. And he blows their house down because it wasn't strong enough. It wasn't built solid enough. Do you and I take enough time in God's word that when the devil comes, that he cannot blow it down, that he cannot destroy it? Do we know enough of God's word that we can fight back with a sword, according to Ephesians 6, and according to what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4? If I were to ask you this morning a question, I wonder how each one of us would respond. David, in Psalm 139, David asks a question to God, or tells God what he can do. Are you and I willing to tell God these same words today? In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, Psalm David says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Hold it, God. Not yet. Not today. Just relax. I wanna go to a party tonight yet first. But tomorrow, you can search me tomorrow, because tomorrow morning I'm gonna be in church. And that'll be fine. I'll be good. I'll be with all the other believers. Are we willing today to allow God to search our heart today? Or even during the week when we're at work? Friends, it bothers me deeply. I've heard this many, many times. Even people of the congregation, the Summerfeld Conference, I've heard of some people say, well, during the week I can be a different person than in the week or than the Sunday. Seriously? Seriously? Now we're just a total different person on a Sunday versus during the week? That's not what God is asking for. So we want to say only our light and our candle can burn on a Sunday. But as soon as Monday morning arrives, we go, let's put that candle out. I don't want to shine for the world because I don't want to be put to shame. Are you and I strong enough when we go to work? Are we strong enough in the foundation that when we get tempted at work, that we will be able to stand. If we look back to Luke chapter 6, he mentions there very clearly, and now he doesn't use the word wise man, but if we use that, what Matthew does, this wise man takes time and he digs deep. Matthew doesn't talk about digging deep. He only talks about building on a stone or on a rock. But Luke writes and he says, a wise man or a person that is one that hears the word and does it is one who digs deep and builds his house on a rock. How deep have you and I gone into God's word? You know, when I say this and I ask this question, my mind goes to our young generation in church. I don't know if you have the same thing here in your church, but when the children are finished in Sunday school, how many of them end up in your congregation? Or how many of them maybe are here for a month or two, and then they leave and they go to other churches? Friends, this morning I'm not saying that other churches are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. There maybe are churches, there are churches out there that don't teach the truth, but there's many out there that teach the truth. If I ask you this morning a question, what is the reason for them leaving? I wonder what kind of answer I would get. I have a very good idea what the answer is. And the answer is, we are still getting milk and we are not getting meat. We received our milk in Sunday school, but the pastor is not speaking about anything in tougher stuff for us to chew. If we go at the beginning of that chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we can see there that there comes a time that we just have to feed milk. You cannot feed the meat to someone who cannot digest it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and on, he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He's talking about us speaking unto fleshly, not unto spiritually. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. At this point, the Corinthians were not ready for tougher stuff to eat. Are you ready for tougher stuff? Then there's a question. How about us pastors? I think many times the messages don't come across strong. Is because I have not studied. I have not gone into God's work deep enough to bring the depth of his word out. And the word almost becomes blah. This morning, I want to encourage us as a congregation. And I'm not saying that we want to have a huge change in our way we do things. But I asked myself a question in the last half year or year. As we see in Bothwell, we virtually have hardly any young people left. They've finished the Sunday school, they leave the church. And I asked myself a question. Will we not, as a conference, need to make a change? And we say, no, we don't want change. But we need to dig deeper into God's word. Is the conference ready to support every minister so they can have time at home to study God's word and not have to take their time to work somewhere to earn their own bread, their own fuel for their own life, pay their own bills? I'm not saying this morning that I want us to feel guilty. But I have that question. We want to have deeper, stronger messages. We want meaty stuff. I would like to encourage you to pray for us. We as ministers need time to study God's word. I'm not sure if I could not say it right offhand because I don't remember if I did or not. Have I ever brought a message here this in the church about the wheat and the tares? Do any of you remember that? Nobody seems to shake their head, yes. You remember the wheat and tares? Me bringing the message here? Some others? Well, I'll just explain it a little bit. Back a year ago, last year in September, the spring when they asked me if I would speak at the youth retreat. And then they gave me a verse out of John chapter 10, verse 10, where it tells us that the thief is to come, nothing else but to come, and I'm going to read it because I don't have it totally memorized. John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And I am come to give that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So when I had this verse, I thought to myself, okay, I got the verse now. That's going to be their theme verse for the weekend. But God, what do you want? I need more than that. I want some kind of passage that has, you know, 10, 12, 14 verses, some kind of a story out of the Bible. Not my own story like I used the three little pigs this morning. I would like something out of Scripture that I could bring to these young ones to help them understand the depth of God's word. And I want to learn. So I studied and I studied. And then God brought me over to the story of the wheat and the tares. And right now I can't remember, but I think it's in Matthew chapter 13, 12 or 13. So I read through that story of the wheat and the tares, and I said to God, I says, that's interesting. This is a story that I'm very familiar with. It's been shared many, many times, and I know this story quite well about this example of the wheat and the tares. That's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30. And I says to God, I says, so I had a conversation with him, and I said, God, what are you trying to tell me here? I know that what wheat is. I know what tares are. Wheat is wheat. It's a good product. Tares is a weed. It's no good for nothing. And he says to me, he says, no, Cal, you do not understand. And I said, yes, God, I know what the difference is. Three times I had this in my mind, the Spirit playing with me, or talking to me. I shouldn't say playing, talking to me, and saying, you do not understand the depth of that passage. Okay, I said to God, if I don't understand, can you tell me where I can find an answer, what you're looking for me to know? He says, Google it. Google it. Oh, this will put everybody's ears up. Seriously? God would tell you to Google something like that? So I did. I Googled the word tares. I found it interesting what this tear is. This tear does not grow in any part of America, whether it's South America, Central America, or North America. It grows in the land of Israel and the surrounding areas of the countries around. You can Google it yourself. You'll find it interesting where this weed grows, and it is a weed. And so as I studied this, I found it very interesting. So I made a phone call to Jeff Hildebrand. Jeff Hildebrand, Pastor Jeff, he's very familiar with weeds. So I called him up and I says, have you ever heard of this type of weed? Well, he knew that it was a weed. We know the Scripture, right? And it was very interesting to have the conversation with him. So I says, we don't have that weed here. But how do you know the difference between oats and wild oats when you go to the field? And he says, I lay down on the ground and I look across the field. When it was only up a little ways, I can really tell at a young stage, at a very young stage, whether there's wild oats in that field or not. So I shared with him what I had studied and what I had learned, and he was really, blown away too, that he never knew the depth of it. Well, the interesting thing is, when you look at these verses, it tells us in verse 26 that when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. I want you to take note, as I study deeper into this, I noticed that when the blades sprung up, they both are identical. Wheat and tares, there's no difference. They are identical. And as they grew up, you cannot tell the difference. But then it says, further on, it says, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Once the fruit, once the kernel was on the end of the plant, that's when you could tell the difference between the two. A wheat, when it's full, it'll bend over. Farmers are very familiar with that. It'll bend over because of the weight, and it's referred to being humble. A tare stands straight, tall, and pride at all times. And there's only a few kernels on it. Once it brings forth its fruit, there's just a few, and generally they are hollow. Generally they are hollow, there's nothing in there. And if there is anything in there, there can be a little black piece in there, and if you eat it, it can make you very sick or even kill you. The interesting thing is that this tear does more than just that. When Jesus uses those words, and Jesus used that example in a parable, and he says, you know, what if we just go to the field and we're going to pull out all the tares? And he says, no, don't do that. Don't pull out the tares, because if you're going to pull the tares out, you're going to pull the wheat out also. Why? Why? Do you know that tares, they root sideways? And they will root towards other plants around it and mingle through them and get caught up in them. Where a wheat goes down, generally the wheat root gets down into the ground to make itself strong for the wind so it can stand when it's very windy. But as I said, the tare goes sideways and it mingles itself around all the other roots around it. And so when you would pull the tare out of the ground, it'll actually pull up the roots of the wheat. Now this is very, very quickly gone through this a bit of the wheat and tares. But I said to myself, are we a wheat or are we a tare? I believe in church there are tares in this church, possibly. I hope there aren't. But possibly there is. Possibly there's one here that's just come to church in his lifetime just because mom and dad said so. And just waiting for the opportunity where they can get all their roots around the friends. And when they leave the church, the friends follow them because they uproot them also. How deeply are we rooted? Are we just shallow? Are we deeply rooted as the wheat? What foundation do we build on? How much do we study God's word? Do we open it? Do we understand it? Friends, I have a long way from understanding everything. Don't think that when I'm speaking to you this morning that I know it from A to Z, from front to back. But I just find God's word very interesting when I open it up and I find something new. And just to be refreshed with something new, and it's not just the wisdom that I want. Now the thing is also to apply it. And I think if I would ask you all a question, how easy is it to apply it? It isn't always. And the reason being is we don't want to let go of some of the worldly things. And that's why we have a hard time applying God's word. We got a baseball game to go to. We got a basketball game to go to. Hockey game. You know, I'm not against that. Don't understand me that I'm against it if you want to go to your grandchildren's games and watch them. But did you take time for God's word? Or is your life so busy that you have no time for God? Oh, Sunday morning we do. But do I have time otherwise for God? You and I are going through the fire. You and I will be tested of what sort of life we've had. have I built upon a foundation? And upon that foundation, I've built gold, silver, precious stone. Is there any value in my life? Is there anything there that I can give to others that would make them strong? Or am I wood, hay, and stubble? Yes, I brought my children to church every Sunday. I sat in the pew every Sunday. I was there. I can still be a good person. But that makes us wood, hay, or stubble. God wants us to dig deeper and to give to Him. Let's give. We have the chance today. Let's give. And let's serve God. When we are called to serve God, let's serve God. I, for myself, have many times said to myself, Cal, you've failed many times. I recall being asked or felt the feeling coming that I was going to be elected as a young adult leader in church. And I said no, so I stopped going to Bible study in church, young adult Bible study, because I felt it was going to be me. Later on in life, I think to myself, boy, was I ever a Jonah. Jonah was asked to go to Nineveh, and I went the other way. And sometimes I ask myself, why are we so foolish? When God calls us, we think it's humbling to say, no, we don't want to serve. Seriously? If we're a child of God, it should give us joy. If we have the fruit of the Spirit, we should go forth with joy serving Him. Do you have joy in your life? Do you have the fruit? Are you on the vine? Are you planted in as a branch? Are you stuck to that vine? Are you drawing from that vine of Jesus Christ according to John chapter 15? If you are, you're not going to stop the fruit. If you're part of that tree and you're drawing from it, you're going to get fruit. Use it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you. I have in a little bit that I know I have brought to the ears everyone that's here. And I pray, Lord, that you will give the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 says, I have planted, as Paul speaks, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We see in Acts that Peter, when he went out, and he spoke the first message, it was not him that pricked the hearts of many. It was your Spirit. Today, O Lord, it's not Cal. It's your Spirit that is to prick everyone. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will have had its free course this morning. And that as we depart here, that we will not just leave it here, but take that Spirit with us and allow it to continue to work on our heart. Bless this hour to everyone, and bless us as we go from here, that we can be a blessing to those around us, and let our light shine, Lord. Thank you for listening, and thank you for caring. We pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anything else that you have on your heart that you would like to bring before the Lord, again, I want to give us an opportunity, and so would you together with me, please kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. thank you for coming this morning. And it was a joy here to serve you this morning. And as I do more and more of this, I honestly have to tell you, I enjoy it. You know, when I started, I thought, this is going to be a burden. This is going to be hard. And it isn't easy. Don't get me wrong. But I enjoy it. I love it because I love God. And I want others to know. I want others to know the truth. My wish and prayer is that we will be able to go home having been filled. Friends, I want to say I had not even reached half of what I have ready. I had way more that I want to present it to you. I wanted to go through some of the things that could build us on a foundation. Faith, family, church, and so on and so forth. But I see the time has run away very quickly. And my apology as it takes a little longer than I was expecting. But I hope that we can go home having found ourselves encouraged or admonished in what God wants from us. And I said this as I started, Jude, verse 20. Beloved, building up ourselves. Building up yourselves on most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He goes on in verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves there. If you're not there, get there. Get into the love of God, and then keep yourself there. And then when you're there, have compassion. Get out there, have compassion. Make a difference, as Jude writes. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And as a benediction for the last two verses, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming. May you go, but go in the peace of the Lord, please.